For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. The Bible is the greatest book that has ever been written. Within the inspired scripture, we learn about geography, astronomy, science, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. While much can be learned from the Bible, salvation is the most important topic covered in the Holy Word. Despite the fact that most Western households own multiple copies of the Bible, there is still confusion on the topic of salvation. This morning, Pastor Holland looks to Hebrews 10 as he starts our two-part series entitled, What We Need to Know About Salvation.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of what we need to know about salvation. I believe this is the greatest book that's ever been written. But in spite of all this knowledge at our disposal, in fact, most people probably have several copies of the Word of God. And even with it at our disposal, there seems to be confusion today about what salvation really means. If you were to go out on the street today and begin to ask people about if they were saved, many of them would tell you they were, but when you press them a little further and say, tell me what it is you did in order to get saved, they would tell you something that was quite contrary from what the Word of God says. I wonder today if the question was asked to you, are you saved, if you really would know exactly what it meant in your life. Now, the devil doesn't want anybody to know that they're saved. But I'm glad today the Bible said that these things have been written to you that you might know that you have eternal life and that you believed on the name of the Son of God. And I'm grateful today that we can know these things in our life. But the devil wants all he can to blind the minds of them that believe not. He does not want them to hear the truth. And even though salvation is so simple and salvation is so plain that even little children can be saved, by the way, it seemed to be one of the most confused issues in all the world because people today do not understand the truth. And what I want to set out to do today, I hope that all of you are saved and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 some facts that are given to us, some deep truths concerning the act or the fact of salvation in our lives. These facts are presented for us to know. And if we can grasp these facts, then Satan will lose his power. He'll lose his ability. If we apply these facts in our lives and begin to walk in them, understanding the truth that God has set for me. You know, today I'm glad that I'm saved. That I'm not only saved, but that I know I'm saved. And I rest in the assurance of what the Word of God teaches me. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm going to heaven. The Bible said in Hebrews 10, verse number 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, notice, once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. A week or so ago, I brought a message on the subject of justified. The word justified means that we get saved. God declares us righteousness. It's not anything that we've done. It's not in our ability. But God declares us righteous when we get saved. Today we come to another word in the Bible that speaks of sanctification. The word sanctification means to set apart, to render from that which is evil and render to that which is good and holy and pure, to consecrate ourselves in order that we might be vessels that are meet for the Master's use, in order that we might be faithful to Him. When we are sanctified, saved by the grace of God, we are set apart. Now, friend, understand me today. I believe that all of us need to do everything we can to try to get everybody we can saved by God's grace. But the moment we get saved, we enter into a different group of people because we're set apart. We're set apart from the things of the world, and we're set apart unto God, consecrated and dedicated into serving Him. When the Lord saves a soul, He sanctifies us and considers us holy. Doesn't always mean that we will be, but He sets that person aside for His use. And I'm glad today, justification is instantaneously upon salvation. Sanctification is carried over as we continue to be faithful in serving Him. Salvation sanctifies the sinner. When the Lord saves the soul, He renders us as holy. The reason He does that is because Christ Jesus purchased our salvation by His blood. The Bible said, "For we are not our own, but we've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in our body, which is His." And I'm glad today that Jesus Christ purchased my salvation, understanding doing so by His blood. We are purified and made holy unto by the death of His cross. We're justified. We're set apart. We're sanctified. When we are able to be saved, it's because Jesus literally took our sins upon Himself. Friend, Jesus paid our sin debt in full in order that we might have everlasting life. It's not anything that we're able to do, but it's what God has done for us. When we are saved, God changes us, and He changes us in many ways. First of all, we are changed internally. Salvation is a must for every one of us. And when we get saved, we are set apart, we're saved by the grace of God, and we're changed internally. The Bible said, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." I'm grateful when I got saved, my desires changed. But best of all, He saved me eternally, but He forgave my sin. Now I'm telling you, the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when God saved me eternally, I know that I was born again and my sins have been forgiven. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the Holy Spirit of God has taken up residence in my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And friend, today, Jesus lives in my heart. Now, physically and visibly, we cannot understand that. But truthfully, we know that it's true because God says that He abides in our heart and He lives there in order that He might comfort us, in order that He might convict us, and He might help us along the way. Not only are we changed internally, but we changed eternally. I'm glad today when God saved me that He gave me everlasting, eternal life. I want you to know today that God has saved me, and He saved me throughout all eternity. If I was to die today, I know that I'd be ushered into the presence of a holy God because I've been saved. But He changed me eternally because now I have a new name written down in glory. And praise God, it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. I'm glad to know today that we have been saved and on our way to heaven. And even though we may sin, the Bible said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we're changed also externally. I believe when a person gets saved, God moves in, takes up residence in the heart. But I believe that when we get saved, that there'll be something about us that will desire to live a life that would be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do things that would exemplify Him and lift Him up above all things. Understand today that when we get saved, God changes us even internally, but I believe He changes us externally. I know people say today, well, the Bible said God looks on the heart. He don't look on the outward appearance. But I got news for you today. Other people look on the outward appearance, and what they need to see is people that love God, that are doing all they can to honor God, to serve God, and to love God. So we see salvation sanctifies the sinner. It sets us apart. It purifies, makes us holy, and every day that we live, we are set aside and sanctified even more. Then we see, second of all, salvation satisfies the sovereign. Now, the first thing we notice is the futility of a religious exercise. In the Old Testament, again, understand that the blood of the sacrifice did not take away the sin of the people. The blood of the sacrifice was in obedience to doing what God had commanded him to do. At that time, Jesus had not died. His blood had not been shed. But I believe they were saved the same way we were, looking unto that blood that would be shed, but understanding that what they were doing by faith. And so the priests would go in daily, And he would offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people in order that they might be forgiven. It was all about faith in God. But I want you to know that all the religious things we do in this world are all futile if we do not put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible said Christ entered into the Holy of Holies and died once for all in order that we might have eternal life. I want you to understand today, Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Many people today tell me when I ask them about salvation, well, I sure hope I get there. Well, what you doing to get there? Well, I'm trying to go to church every opportunity I get. I won't tell you ought to go to church every opportunity you get. But I'm telling you, there's nobody going to heaven today because you came to church today. Or every day, or every Sunday, or every year, you're only going to heaven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for our sin. Yet today, many people go through all the religious practices. Over in the Philippines, missionaries have told us how around Easter, they usually go out and get a cross, and they carry it, and they beat themselves in the back. They punish themselves, they tear their body up, and what they're doing is trying to earn their way to salvation. Friend, you cannot earn your way. You cannot earn your way to heaven. You cannot earn your salvation. The Bible said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He has saved us." I'm telling you today, I'm all about baptism. The reason I am is because Jesus was baptized, and He commands us to be baptized. All the baptisms in the world, all the church memberships in the world, is not going to get you to heaven. We're only going to get to heaven through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for our sin. The rest is futility. We find today people are trying. Had a fellow tell me not long ago, he said, "Well, I'm just doing the best I can." You know what I told him? I said, "The best you can is not good enough." Friend, I'm telling you today, there's none of us can do good enough to get to heaven. We can only go to heaven based upon what Jesus Christ did for us. So salvation satisfies the sovereign. Jesus Christ, once for all. Notice what He said. By the way, if we could lose our salvation, He'd have to do that over and over again. But I tell you, Jesus offered once for all. He died on the cross for our sin in order that we might have eternal life. And then look at the finality of it. There was no chair in the Holy of Holies. When the priest went back to offer the sacrifice, he wasn't back there to sit down. He was back there to carry out the duties, repeat it year after year after year. And we find the word of Jesus was, when He came and offered Himself, it was a one-time deal. And after He did it, what did He do? The Bible said He sat down at the right hand of the Father. The right hand is given the hand, the receiving hand, the working hand. It's the hand of power. And His work will never have to be repeated again. He sat down. You remember when Jesus died on the cross? He cried out and He had paid the price. He said, "It is finished." Friend, salvation's plan is finished. There's not nobody going to come up with a new plan. There's not going to be a new way. There's not going to be a new plan of salvation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Supreme Priest, the Holy Priest, He offered Himself on the cross. He died. And then He sat down at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I.
The book of Hebrews explains that Christ was sent as a sacrifice for the salvation of man. Upon Christ's return to heaven, He sat down at the right hand of the Father because His work was complete. Truly, salvation's plan has been finalized. Have you accepted Christ so that you can spend eternity in heaven? Are you proclaiming the truth of salvation? Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792. We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.